Episode 350.
It doesn't feel like you're in it for me. It feels like you're in it for you. When all you're doing is, I want a review. Hey, come back in and give me money for your oil change. Come back in. And that's not even the heart of a lot of these shops. They're not trying to say, hey, come in and give me money. But to the customer, that's what it feels like.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here. Hey, if you're growing, changing, or investing in your business, this is the resource you need on everything auto care. Over 400 collective episodes between Remarkable Results Radio, the Town Hall Academy, and the new show, For the Record, that brings you the power of the spoken word. Welcome to episode 350 with Carrie Lynn Roddenberg from Turnkey Marketing, and we're talking CRM. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. Now, when you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more, fmmotorparts.com. And thanks for supporting these brands. The network of social followers, likers, and connections builds with the Aftermarket's award-winning podcast. I'm honored to make new Facebook friends like Stephen Boyd, Clyde McLaughlin, Steve Thompson, Wayne Jolly, and Brian Eslick, and my new Instagram followers, Nick Jones and Danny Coons, and the latest LinkedIn connections, Brandon Pickering, Ivan Angelino, and Alex Geraldo. Get connected. RemarkableResults.biz/social. Hey, I'm honored that you're listening to our long-form interviews and discussions. Our industry uses the podcast for inspiration, ideas, breakthroughs, and innovation. Please be sure to check out our series of shows like The Business Coaches Lab, Technician Talk, and the Technology Series, among others. Hey, never stop learning and keep delving into our content, and you just might discover your next great idea. Hey, you know, there's tons of marketing approaches that you can use to your advantage. Carrie Lynn Roddenberg, the founder of Turnkey Marketing, talks about having a good CRM program as the foundation for great content marketing for your business. She says good content marketing is a good recipe for perpetuating customer relationships. She lectures that the key to customer loyalty is built one transaction at a time. Now, don't miss her speaking about loving on your customer. Good stuff there. She says it's always a good idea to find the time to create good quality marketing to grow your brand. If you're not good at that, she says you can hire someone, but it is a mainstay today. Listen to this great lesson on marketing strategies and more. Find the key talking points, Carrie Lynn's bio, and links to her previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E350. Your customers' eyes are glued to Facebook for an hour every day. You need to get in front of them. That's one of Carrie Lynn's important quotes here on episode 350. Hey, a warm welcome to Carrie Lynn Roddenberg from Turnkey Marketing. Welcome, Carrie.
Thanks, Carm. How's it going?
It's great. You're getting to be an old veteran on the show.
Are you calling me old? Is this an old joke?
Oh, God, I didn't mean to say the word old.
You know, you shouldn't say that to women.
An experienced veteran on the show. Town Hall Academy 23, you were here talking about social media, and then back on Town Hall Academy 54, staying up on social media. And then you were with me in April of 2017, about a year ago now, a little longer than a year ago as we're recording this. Yeah. And we talked about turnkey marketing and social media again. I think you're here because you may be an expert on social media.
Mm-hmm. Social media and really just reaching out to your customers and loving on your customers. The social media is a great way to do that.
I love that. I can't wait to get in deeper about this loving on your customer thing. But, you know, you and I were chatting a while back, and I was really, every time I hear the word CRM, you know, this is what I want to kind of dive into today. Customer relationship management. It seems it's an acronym that I think just gained support in a certain way, but I think it's morphed into something almost different than what it was ever intended to be. Am I right?
I can see where you're going with that. Yeah, because people hear the word CRM all the time, right? Or, you know, the letter CRM, and they know that they need a CRM, but people aren't even totally sure what that means. Do you ever get that sense from people?
That's where I am.
Yeah. So people are like, is it a software? Is it a point of sale software? Is it a management system? What exactly is it? It's easy to kind of get wrapped up into looking for like a really cool CRM and all these different, you know, technological things. But really, you need to stop and think about, in all of your marketing, what the point is. What are you trying to accomplish? What's the goal of a CRM? And the end goal isn't just to have one that's cool and sits on your desktop and mimics your point of sale software that you already have. The goal is to connect with your customers and build a relationship with them and to help them continually like feel the love from your shop. You know, it's to build that relationship, customer relationship management. So it's all about building the relationship and continuing that customer experience outside the shop.
Well, I'm confused already, but that's my role. I'm actually, maybe it's not my role. It maybe is the size of my brain. Looking for a cool CRM, you said to me, and that's on your desktop. So what you're really suggesting, this tool is an integrated management tool that manages content and reach to my customer?
It's really all about marketing to your customer. It's about taking your database and continually being in front of your people, continually reaching out to them and making sure that they feel like they're actually in a relationship. So it can be kind of confusing. So I'm going to explain it in a way.
But this can be managed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it can be managed. But you know what? You don't even, if you have the right CRM software or the right CRM system, you don't even need to really manage it.
Well, how hard then, Carrie, is it to manage it?
That's the problem, is that it can get pretty hard to manage because, I mean, the average shop, how many people come in? How many cars do they have? I mean, thousands, right? Let's say 1,000, 1,500, just to be conservative. How are you going to follow up with each of those people multiple times?
Okay, so wait a minute. What I'm really gaining is that there's an intelligent way to manage the interaction that you get with your customer. And I recall reading about something called drips. And let me try to paraphrase what I learned about that is that someone would reply to an email and the system, quote unquote, the CRM would say, ah, we got some information from that customer. They came in and replied to here. Now we can do something different with their answer and then follow up with them. So is that what this engine or this tool is all about?
It's more about, so a new customer comes in, you spent a lot of money to get that new customer, hundreds of dollars. And so we focus a lot on getting that new customer. And then we kind of assume that, hey, we do great work. So they're going to come back because we do great work. Well, today, people just assume that they're going to get great work done. You go to the dentist, you don't expect them to fill the wrong tooth if you have a cavity, right? You don't leap for joy and say, great, you did awesome. You filled the right tooth. It needs to be more than that. So a new customer comes in and that's where the follow-up needs to start after they come in, or an existing customer.
Okay, I get it. So this loving on your customer basically could take a referral in a brand new customer and continue to heap upon them reminders of what we've done, reminders of what's to come, the things that are going on in the shop, birthdays we're celebrating, the kind of cars we're working on, new product lines that we're now selling, new work that we're doing. Am I going in the right direction here?
You're going in the right direction, Carm, but really you have to focus on the customer. So all those things that you just said are things that we, as people who are, you know, into auto repair and into cars, we care about that. But the mom that has three kids and is working a part-time job and who's just super busy and wants her kids to be safe and wants her car to function well and wants to take them on a road trip to Disney World this summer, they don't care about all those things. What they care about is, how do I keep my car working as I drive to Florida? How do I make sure that as I'm waiting in line to drop my kids off as they go back to school, my car isn't stalling out or making weird noises or smelling and embarrassing me? So it's all about providing value, and value is whatever your customer values.
I got it. No, I got this thing. It's perfect. And I go back to the great listening skills and, you know, a lot of Dale Carnegie things that it's really about you, not about me.
Exactly.
And it's about safety and reliability for you. Yeah, I got all these other great things that make that happen, but it's not important to you.
Right. You know, we're talking about it has to be all about the customer. And as we're talking about loving on the customer and building this relationship, think of it like a movie. You know, there's two people, they go on a date and the date goes really well. So say the date goes really well, you think that maybe the movie's progressing, they're going to have a great relationship. Well, the guy never reaches out to the girl never reaches out to the guy, and they don't have any communication after this great date.
It becomes cold at that point.
Exactly. And then, you know, they go out and do their own lives and kind of forget about each other. So you play the movie, that doesn't end well. Let's take another storyline. Say this couple, a different couple, goes out on a date. It's, again, a really, really great date. And then the guy says, you know what, I'm gonna text her. I'm interested in her. I want to follow up. But he sends her a text. She sees that it's a message from him. She gets excited. She looks at it. And it's honestly, he just wants something from her. He doesn't care about her. He's just saying, hey, I want something from you.
The message was wrong.
Exactly. That doesn't feel like love when you're like, hey, can you do X, Y, and Z for me? Can you go get my laundry? Do this, do that. You know, that's not love. It's not building the relationship.
I love the analogy. So we had a date, a referral, a new customer came in. They were really great people. They did a lot. We inspected their car. We started to build this incredible relationship. And we didn't do a thing after that to help solidify, to help grow it, plant the seed to build something.
Right. Or you did, but it was the wrong thing. Ah. You reached out with a thanks and give me a review. And then while you're at it, here's the next time you should come in to get, you know, to get your oil.
It was mechanical. It was mechanical.
Exactly.
There was no emotion. There was no feel in it. It was just, okay, let's send them the thing about giving me a review. Let's send them a thing. So it's just this mechanical and it doesn't feel.
It doesn't feel like you're in it for me. It feels like you're in it for you. When all you're doing is, I want a review. Hey, come back in and give me money for your oil change. Come back in. And that's not even the heart of a lot of these shops. They're not trying to say, hey, come in and give me money. But to the customer, that's what it feels like. So we need to provide value outside the shop.
So there's a lot of shop owners that are doing this. They feel really good about it. They've notched the, you know, their belt. They've got, you know, 1,500 emails going out, or they're emailing the customers that were there this week and thanking them, but they weren't loving on them. Here's your point.
Yeah, they weren't providing value.
They weren't providing value, and it wasn't personal enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it wasn't personal. It wasn't what the customer wanted to hear to build that relationship.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified gurus on call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards loyalty program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. Okay, so here I am. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. And so what is loving content?
So loving content is content that is fresh. It doesn't feel stale and mechanical, and it helps the customer. So it's you want to give them content that they would actually be bummed if you stopped emailing them, right? So maybe it's summer's coming up. What is on their mind? What are they looking for? They're not thinking about, I should bring my vehicle into the repair shop. They're not thinking about that all the time because they're busy, right? But they are thinking about, I have to pick my kids up at the right time. My car has to be safe. I don't want it to smell. I want it to, I want to feel comfortable. I want to get on that road trip. I want the AC to work. It's hot out. They're thinking about all of these things. So enter that conversation that's going on in their mind and talk to them about those things and help them feel good about those things.
So the real world is we're having one of the hottest summers on record. It started in early July, and a message could be about cold and warmth and about child safety, and all of that wrapped up into we're really not. I guess we're trying to promote the fact that we do air conditioning work, but the message, correct, the message would be completely different in trying to appeal to an emotion and safety. Obviously, safety. You don't want to be driving around in 80 degree, 90 degree, 100 degree heat.
Yeah, especially with your young children or your adult parent. So you want to build yourself. So it's all the things that you want to hit. You're building trust because you're establishing yourself as the expert. You're also kind of coming alongside of them and saying, hey, I'm not just trying to sell to you. Here are some things that you can do to check to see if your AC is working on your own.
You said you are the expert, but it would probably be valuable if you never sold the fact that you do that work, if you never sold the fact that you were expert in any of those areas and you just let the message percolate. Wouldn't someone realize he wouldn't be telling me this if he wasn't extremely qualified to solve an issue if I had it?
It's kind of a catch-22 because you want to do both. It's kind of like the 80-20 rule. You want to sell some, but you also just want to build that person up and build up your expertise, build your authority. So like, let's take this example of air conditioning.
All right.
Say you send out an email talking about the importance of air conditioning or ways to check your car yourself without even having to come to the repair shop to see if your AC is working or not working. Here are some things that maybe it's not. If it's blowing out hot air, if the air is weak, it's not strong, all those different things. So then they get to a point where they realize, yeah, it's really not working and it looks like there's actually a problem. Hey, if you have a problem, come on in. We're here for you. If you have any questions, give us a call. But then maybe you send them a postcard that has an AC special, or you do a Facebook app that has an AC special on it. So you're kind of marrying the two, but not being as you're just not being salesy all the time. But it is important to do marketing that's direct and says, hey, here's a coupon or here's a reason to come in.
I am on so many of the industry's Facebook pages of shops, and I see such great ads, opportunistic ads, where a vehicle came in on the back of a tow truck or on a flatbed, or it was a very expensive car that just came in to get some work done. Those are opportunities. People snap those pictures and say, I guess if my place is good enough for the Lamborghini, it's great for you. And those are just very simple, quick pictures that connect.
Absolutely.
A picture of a thermometer at 101. It's all that's necessary. And do a Facebook post. And the words could say, we're here for you.
In marketing, you have the market that you're talking to. So in this case, we're thinking about customers, new customers. And then you have the media, or the medium and the message. So one medium is social media. But then you have also other mediums that you want to be using, like text messaging and email and postcards, because not everyone is on the same medium at the same time. And you need to have multiple touch points to stay in front of people consistently.
So CRM is all of that you just mentioned.
So some CRMs, not all CRMs are created equally. Some CRMs are more of a tool. I hear lots of people say, I think my point of sale software has something like that. But I've had it for 14 years and I've never really used it. So I'm not really sure. I think I have to go in and send the email out myself and write the content. It's kind of like having Gmail, but having your list right there ready for you. Not a huge advantage. And then some CRMs have little bits, just email or just text message or something like that.
But do they remember what you did and who replied?
It depends. Again, it depends on the CRM. The really important thing that you want is for to have a CRM that is set up for you so that you don't have to go in. This is what I hear from shop owners time and time again, is that they don't want to think about it, right? So they'll get a CRM and they'll hope and assume and think, rightfully so, think that things are going out to their customer bases. But they come to find out they're only, you know, their CRM is only sending out recommended repair emails or oil change emails, which are great and necessary, but that's it. So they lose the customer relationship aspect. So I guess what I'm saying is one of the most important things that you want to look for is for a customer retention, customer relationship, marketing management program that is really, really focused on the strategy and having this big picture of strategy and kind of having it, if this, then this. If someone comes in and they're new, then they get this. If they aren't new, then they get this. If it's been, you know, X amount of time, then they get this lost customer. And so here's what happens a lot. Here's the kind of downside, is that the content is either not set up, the strategy isn't set up, or the strategy is there, but the content is bad. Or it's like bits and pieces. Some of it's good, but some of it's bad. It's not all consistent, working together and personalized. It feels kind of like a cold, stale template that feels kind of corporate and doesn't seem like, you know, someone might read it and be like, well, they definitely didn't write that. It seems like a corporate person wrote that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it gets me a little worried that you are putting a lot of emphasis on the value of the content. We're not all, you know, we were all technicians. We were never destined to be the CEO of a company, but we had to learn. Now you're telling me I have to write good content, take good pictures, and wow, that's way out of my wheelhouse. So there are companies out there that will help with this. Will some CRMs, I mean, I know your company is specifically figured in the aftermarket. I know you work with shops. Do they come to you for content?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Okay.
Even big companies in our industry come to me for content.
Okay, I get it. What is good content then? How do I know? If I just set out to say, let me try this myself, how does self know that they're maybe doing a few things right?
You want to be writing it thinking of the customer in mind, thinking about that conversation, what the customer is thinking about in their mind, and enter in that conversation.
Be the ball, be the customer.
Exactly. Be in the customer's mind and then write to their questions, their pain points.
If you've got your ideal customer designed, your avatar, and you know exactly who it is that walks in that door that will be your customer, and you've figured out all of their character traits, you know, what they do for a living, how much they earn, how big is their family, where they work, it's not hard to think about what they're thinking.
Some people find it hard and some people don't. It is really, really important, like you said, to focus in on who are they? What are they doing in their lives? Are they busy or are they not busy? I mean, the average shop, 75% of the decision makers are women. And lots of them are busy moms. So talk about things that a busy mom would be interested in. They might not be interested in the super technical lingo about fixing a car.
So keeping your ear to the ground with your customer, your service advisors really hearing the pulse of everyday life and the challenges that are going on out there. You're experiencing life as it goes by at the rate of a speeding bullet. And as you look at content in your own world, you could probably figure out how to relate it into good content for your customer that's all about them and, as you say, maybe 20% about what you could do to provide value for them.
And you can talk about what you do without it being super salesy. So maybe it's spring car care month and you're saying, hey, it's springtime or it's fall car care month. These are things that you should look at during this time, right? So here are ways to maintain your vehicle. And during the car care months, we really focus in on things that you can do to maintain your vehicle. And maybe you say, get your oil changed. So you don't have to say, hey, you do your own oil and here's how. But you say these things and it's obviously kind of pointing back at you, but you're not saying, hey, come in for $19.99 oil change. Does that make sense? It's kind of like
what you're saying is we had a really cold winter. Did your battery survive it? Great. By the way, it may not make another. We can check it out.
That's perfect. Yep. And then you want relevant content every month. You want things that are fresh. You want tips and tricks. You don't want, again, you don't want just the recommended repair letters, just the oil change or service reminders, right? Because that is more about you and the shop, it feels like, to the customer. Mm-hmm. So you want to stay in front of them every month. If you say someone doesn't come in for 6 months and you haven't emailed them in that time, there's actually a law, a federal law. Well, it's an act, the Ken Stam Act. And it basically is all about preventing people from receiving spam. And one of its recommendations is if they haven't heard from you or been in for 6 months, that's a cold lead. You should not email them. You should not, definitely not text them, definitely not email them, because now they've gone cold. And that's a real tragedy. If you've paid all that money to get someone in and you haven't kept them as a warm lead, then so much money down the drain. So you want to stay in front of them.
But how are you going to know it doesn't go cold? How do you know?
For instance, I know because the way that we've created our system and our software and our content, it really times out where people are in their big overarching customer
journey,
life cycle,
journey.
Or customer journey.
Yeah.
And so it's this really cool system. It's almost like the inside of a clock, like something turns and then it turns another gear and it turns another gear. And it gets people on these different routes or these kind of different train tracks based on where they are and sends different messages based on who they are and where they are in the journey. And so if you have your, you know, like our system, we're always sending out fresh content to people's customers. And so that way we know no one's slipping by. No one's going to not hear from us in 6 months. That's crazy. We're not going to allow that. So we constantly stay in front of them and provide value to them and also keep them updated with things that they need for their car or, hey, we haven't seen you in a while, or it's your birthday.
So if I text a customer or send them an email, I've gotten permission to do all of this, and they are you verifying, well, if they opened it up, that's really a positive contact if they open it?
It's really great to follow if they're opening it and seeing. And there's even ways that you could set it up. I mean, like our system. I don't know all systems, but I know our system. It will email people. And if, say, they don't open up an email, we'll continue to like reach out to them. But say they do open an email or take action, it might put them in a different kind of route, a different lane.
A different queue. It goes into a different queue to have something else done to that. And
exactly.
So basically you have layers based on conditions.
Right. Or how warm or how interested that person is, or how disengaged and trying to re-engage them.
Do I have to have different content for all of those different conditions?
We do have a lot of content based on knowing where the customer is.
Got it.
So you want to talk to your customer as specifically as possible, right? So you don't want them to feel like they're just a number. You definitely want it to feel like there's, you know, kind of like newsletter emails that go out to everyone, but you also want there to be emails or text messages or postcards that feel like you literally sat down at your desk and thought of this person, and so you just want to reach out to them.
If Facebook, for example, has a quote-unquote social media, that's really more of a big broadcast. So that's not a specific piece, but that is in the strategy, right?
Yeah. It's not part of a CRM, but that's a great customer marketing strategy.
But it's a content piece. I can't help but think about integration. Here I have a point of sale system. Here comes a new customer. You'd almost want a piece of software that communicated with the CRM, I'm sorry, with the SMS, the shop management system, so that you weren't having to do any manual entry over to it.
That's a really important part. And that's, you know, and that's a part that our company has had to work on for years and hire developers and all those different things to get our software integrated with a lot of different shop softwares.
So I have a new customer in my SMS. It finds its way. It navigates, gravitates its way into the CRM that's on that desktop that you're talking about. Do I have to have you manage it? Does a CRM person have to manage it, or can I manage it?
For instance, ours, you really don't even have to do anything. It's all taken care of for you. A lot of our customers never even go back there because they don't have the time, and they trust us as advisors.
All right. How do I know my ROI on this?
So you need tracking, and we have tracking, and you can see what people are coming in, what different communications they received, how often.
So here's a customer who comes in 4 months later. We have another ticket. That ticket goes into the CRM, and now we actually see the, if you will, the purchases, the life cycle, the integration, the volume, the everything that's going on. And of course, you could probably write code that would say anyone who's done business with us twice in the last 8 months has this kind of value, and we'll get these kinds of messages. I think that's what you're telling me.
Yeah. And it's important. So let's talk about the ROI. People say, well, we do great work, and so we really don't need marketing to our customers. They're just going to come back. Okay. And I get that. I understand.
Wait a minute. Stop it. Tell me, they're just going to come back? I can't even believe someone would think that.
I am telling you, Carm, I hear it all the time.
Loyalty is built on every transaction. I mean, it starts with at 8 in the morning, and it ends at 5. And the only way you keep building loyalty is, first of all, I guess there's just too much incoming to try to steal that business from you.
But I hear that all the time. I need more cars in my shop, but I don't need to do any marketing to my customers because they're always going to come back. And it stinks. It's a sad way to look at it, because lots of times I know some of the best shop owners who have thought that and sat down and took the time, which it takes a lot of time, to look and see how often their customers are coming back. Lots of shops assume it's 3 to 4 times a year, but the average is about 1.2 times a year to a shop. But they probably need to go to, they need an oil change more than that, more than, let's even say, 2 times a year often. So they're probably visiting other places. They probably don't know that you offer specific things, or maybe they think they don't want me to come to their shop because it's just an oil change.
All right. So list for me the type of content that sits inside of a CRM strategy. I know we've talked email. You've mentioned text. Is that ongoing text after the transaction, or is it text during?
That's different. So digital inspections, often that software often will have the text messages going on during the time that the car's at the shop. A CRM system is going to pick up after they leave. So it's going to nurture that customer after they leave the shop.
So that's one methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And are you telling me that should be engaged limited, maybe every couple of months? People would be probably more willing to accept an email every 3 weeks than a text every 3 weeks.
Yeah, you have to be really careful with texting. There's a lot of strategy and thought that has to go into texting.
Okay.
And even down to the words that you use, because you can really offset people if you text them too much, or if you're too spammy feeling.
I got it. And that's how I am with mine. Whenever every once in a while someone gets my phone number, and I'm getting texts from places I would have never dreamed about, and it gets annoying. I guess we covet our texts amazingly. We do somehow.
It feels personal. It feels invasive when someone sends out a really salesy kind of text message. It feels really invasive.
I can see a safety message, reliability message, being part of a text campaign that is apropos to the moment in time. I can see that 101 degree day and a text going out saying, we sure hope you're cool today.
Yeah. And here's another thing that I want to say about text messages is that one thing that's really cool about text messages is that you can consistently send those automatically. But something that a lot of shops have found is really hard is that you'll get text messages back, and sometimes you'll get inundated with text messages from your customers, right? And so one thing that our company has started to do is we actually have one of the packages we have is will actually respond to text messages for shops, and it saves dozens of hours. Yeah, yeah. People can actually text in to schedule their appointment the next time they come.
Got it. Beware what you decide to do, because if someone is asking a question, hey, can you take me and do an appointment tomorrow? You're right. My air doesn't work. I've been meaning to call you. Oh my God, you can't lose that opportunity.
No, you have to act on that quickly.
You got to be there. You got to hover. You got to be on it. Okay. Texting, emails. You mentioned postcards, didn't you?
Yes. Direct mail.
Direct mail.
Yeah, so having all three of these elements working together is just like magic. Beautiful. Direct mail is expensive, obviously. It's way cheaper to send an email than it is direct mail. So you have to figure out when is the most appropriate time and what should you send and how do you make it personal? That's really important, making it personal.
So what do we look for in a great CRM program if I was out on the hunt for one?
Yeah, so look for one that has, you know, fresh, relevant content every month. Make sure that the content is providing value to your customers. Reach out for holidays. Just drop in. When you have a reason to talk to people, it makes it almost a little easier. So a holiday is a reason for you to reach out and stay top of mind with them. Look for one that will really save you time. Have that two-way texting. Have that extra service where they can, the company can actually respond for you and help you out. Allow your service advisors to sell more, right? So think about that. Think about the opportunity costs and look for one that will give you a better, you know, will be less money because of the opportunity cost, because of the time it saves you. Look for one that feels like you actually could have wrote it, right? You want your customers to feel like, oh, this is cool. This is friendly. This is personal. It doesn't sound super stale and corporate and robotic, mm-hmm. right? Definitely look for one, again, that has those three legs of that stool, where it has texting, email, postcards. Texting is great for millennials. Everyone's wondering, how do I get millennials? Text to schedule is huge for them. You know, look for one that will replace the calls, the callback, you know, the week after, a few days after, to check in with your customers. Look for a way to replace that and save more time.
I mean, instead of a personal call?
Yeah. Look for a way that your CRM company can help you replace that.
Wow, there are some shop owners out there that so highly value that personal follow-up call within, you know, 3 days of the job. And you're saying use electronic form?
We've seen a lot of success with text messaging follow-up, okay. A lot more response from it, because people have more time to do it.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe that. And you're right. Some people will not take the phone call, but at least if the message was left from a human voice. And maybe you're right. You know, people sometimes, well, they say 90% open rate on texts. And, you know, people won't even pick up their phone today. There's just so much spam phone calls being made today. It's an epidemic state. If you look at the number and you can't recognize it, people aren't even answering.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Well, that's a strategy. I mean, some guys are just so darn successful with those phone calls. So what should I expect from a company that, you know, I'm gonna hire a CRM company? Is that really what we would call it, a CRM company?
It would be a marketing company.
A marketing company? I'm going to hire a marketing company. Yeah. What do I look for in a good marketing company?
Look to hire one that looks ahead for you, that advises you. You don't want the company saying, what do you want it to say? What should the offer be? What do you want it to look like? That would be like someone coming in and saying, my car is making funky noises and smells. And the service advisor saying, okay, which parts do you want me to look at? Right? That just wouldn't make any sense. They're coming to you because you're the expert and they want your advice. So look for a company that will make that broad stroke plan for you from the big picture down to the little picture. And we'll take that stress off of your shoulders. That will really help you.
And be integrated. Somehow have a track record and have data to prove it.
Mm-hmm. And look for a company that you don't have to babysit. Don't take a company that you feel like, well, I'm not really sure if they're sending something new out to my customers every month. I don't really know what they're doing. That is possible with this thing that I'm using, but I don't know if it's actually going out. That doesn't do you any good. That's like having lettuce in your fridge and saying, I'm getting skinnier because I have healthy food in my fridge, but you never eat it. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Good analogy. You must know what I'm trying to do. No. Yep. Hey, you know, you helped me break the code on CRM and what it really means and to the next level. I truly love your concept on loving your customer. And if any service professional can start out with that as the overall arching strategy that, you know, we've got, when we reach out to our customers, we have to, it's all about you, them, and it's all right. About loving on them and telling them what they need to be concerned about when it comes to their transportation needs and the world around them.
Helping them. It's all about giving back to your customer and helping them when they're in your shop and when they're out of your shop.
Well, great final line. Carrie Lynn Roddenberg, Turnkey Marketing. Hey, thanks for coming on and helping me understand CRM.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Carm. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Carrie Lynn Roddenberg, for your time to discuss CRM. I believe you really helped put it into perspective. Our listener appreciates information on the power of marketing and customer relationships, and it is what drives the business. Find the key talking points, additional bio information on Carrie Lynn Roddenberg at remarkableresults.biz/E350. Tell a friend about Remarkable Results Radio and the power of our spoken word. Ping me, direct message me, or email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.